Shane, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It's a bit of a rainy day down in Melbourne. I'm not sure what it's like up in Sydney for you, but certainly not summer.
I think we're predicted for about 36 today up here, so we're going well. So to kick things off, in terms of calling university admissions transparent and saying that they're going to become more transparent, what does this actually mean?
Well, this really comes at the end of quite a long process. So around 18 months ago, the discussion started at the Universities Australia level, and certainly, you know, there were some kind of inklings around the government saying, you know, this process doesn't quite seem as open as I think it was assumed to be. A lot of people thought that Australia's admissions process in the various states was pretty clear, pretty straightforward, handled by sort of central agencies and all pretty simple. So that was really a catalyst, and it wasn't one thing. It was a number of very small kinds of notes saying, I think we need to take a look at this. And, you know, in January this year, Fairfax actually, you know, conducted a pretty major investigation and found that there were a lot of young people who were being admitted to courses with a lower ATAR score than the one that was advertised in the various handbooks in the various states. So basically these people were being admitted below what are called the published cutoffs. And this is a big problem because what it highlighted was that young people really weren't getting accurate information about what kind of score was required for them to get into a particular course. Well, that was what the claim was. And so Minister Simon Birmingham started this process and got the Higher Education Standards Panel to have a look at this. And the recommendations that came out in September, and then the government, as you say, acted on them and agreed to them all.
So what were the actual recommendations that the Higher Education Panel gave the government?
There's 14 in all, and really they're around, you know, I won't go through them all because some of them are pretty mundane and some of them are very common sense. But they come under pretty much three categories. And the first one is really around clarity. So making sure that the information that's published in the various, VTAC guides, or in Victoria we call it the VTAC guide. I'm sure you have a similar one in New South Wales. But the guides that students use to select their courses, that the information in those needed to be accurate, and that universities must publish the accurate information. So no longer can a university say it takes an 85 to get into a science degree at a particular university, and actually they're admitting students that have a 70 or something like that. The second one is around trying to enhance not clarity but accuracy of the admissions processes across the sector. So that means ensuring that young people understand not only the entry requirements relating to the ATAR, but a much clearer understanding of the additional requirements that some courses have. So one of the big things that the review found were that there were so many different ways and so many different individual conditions that universities put on particular courses. And most of these make a lot of sense. To be honest, most of these are things like in a visual arts course requiring a folio alongside a score. That's very good common sense, and it reflects the needs of that course. But what the panel found was that, well, this information isn't always readily available, and it's definitely poorly understood. And that's pretty much with the words taken verbatim from the report. And so the government has acted on that one as well, which I think is a really good thing. The third thing that the government has sort of, the review was really pushing to do, and the government, you know, the government has wanted for quite a while, is to have a central place for this information to be housed, which there used to be called the Quality Indicators of Learning and Teaching website, but that's going to be, you know, the centrepiece of this whole thing of Simon Birmingham's sort of response to this is going to be a centralised website, for students to use that will house all of this information and will hold universities accountable, and there's going to be accountability measures, according to his speech last week. to make sure that the information on there is accurate.
It did take me a minute to think of it before, but UAC is the New South Wales version of VTAC. So there we go. Everyone in New South Wales, it's the UAC. Now, yes. You've said before that a change to a more transparent system will not improve equity. Could you expand on that one a little bit for us?
Yeah, so that's a line I've been running for a while now. essentially, it's really important to remember that the percentage of young people admitted each year to degrees on the ATAR alone is only around 40 to 45%. So there's a whole heap of other, you know, the majority of people are admitted maybe with universities looking at their ATAR a little bit, but trying to get other information. And this is actually a pretty good thing. So we have a thing here called HEP, which is higher education. I'm going to get it wrong because it's late in the year. But it's basically higher education participation programs. And the goal of these programs, they're very targeted pots of money. And the goal of these programs is to try and help young people from backgrounds who do not have a history of participation in higher education, who maybe face multiple barriers at accessing higher education. And these pots of money are really designed to help improve those numbers and improve outcomes for those young people. And that's a good thing. That's a really great thing. So these recommendations are, as I said, some of them are very much common sense. They will make the process a bit more transparent. They will hopefully provide some kind of central space where students can go to, or young people can go to find information, and parents can go to find information. But what they won't do on their own without something, you know, alongside them, they won't do is actually help people who don't think university is for them access university. They're not going to do that work, because those people, the people from those backgrounds who have no history of higher education, and we know this from a lot of research, just really don't look at higher education options as something that they feel is for them. So really, if we want to run an equity line, which I think is really important to ensure we've got a very diversely educated population, then we need to make sure that we're enshrining those principles and saying, well, are we providing access for those young people who historically have not had access and their families have not had access? Are we making sure that alongside these transparency measures, we're not adding things like additional fees that are making it harder for these people to access higher education? Because we do know, and I know it's a contentious issue, but we do know that on average, people who access tertiary education of any kind and higher education in particular do tend to have better life outcomes, better economic outcomes, better health outcomes, better social outcomes. And so that's something that, you know, in a changing economy, in a challenging economy, we really need to make sure that we're giving people the best opportunity to access the benefits that come from accessing tertiary and higher education.
Well, Shane, it is something that we will definitely keep an eye on as time passes. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.